Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A trooper dog helped stop a vehicle thief in Fairbanks last night. According to a trooper dispatch, the canine Lennox tracked 23-year-old Autumn Bailey of Fairbanks, who abandoned a stolen truck after recklessly driving through town shortly before midnight, nearly hitting a police vehicle at one point. Troopers say Bailey and a passenger got out of the truck following a 15-minute vehicle pursuit and were followed and stopped by the canine. Troopers ask anyone who had to take evasive action to avoid the black Chevy Silverado pickup to contact them. Bailey is being charged with vehicle theft, failing to stop, assault, and drug offenses. The interior remains in the grip of a cold snap that's dipped temperatures to as low as the 50s below zero. National Weather Service meteorologist Joe Kristen says the extreme cold is expected to hang on a few more days.
High pressure over northwest Alaska, and we got easterly flow over the interior. And we've been seeing cold air in Canada filtering in over the interior the last several days. And it looks to remain that way, at least into the weekend.
Kristen says winds at higher elevations have resulted in warmer temperatures but prompted wind chill advisories. A change in the weather pattern beginning over the weekend is expected to boost valley high temperatures to between minus 15 and minus 5 by Monday. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has an estimated $200 to $300 million in backlogged building maintenance, and overhauling the way repairs are prioritized and funded is a goal of Mayor Bryce Ward. As KUAC's Robin reports, the mayor's 10-year capital improvement plan requires a lot of public input.
The borough's fix-it list is 93 projects long. The new process, approved last August, has had a lot of public interest. 29 of these projects were nominated by citizens. The others came from borough staff or the school district. The nomination window closed in October and was the first phase of citizen input in this new process. To encourage more, the borough administration has kept up a special website for the capital improvement process at fnsb.us/CIP. There, Mayor Bryce Ward talks about several projects on a video showing maintenance problems like cracked ceilings, peeling paint, and blocked exit doors. Then he reminds citizens to come to the public hearing January 16th.
And this is a perfect opportunity to come in and share with us on these scopes. Did we get them right? Or are there some things that you'd like to see changed?
The scopes and very rough estimates of costs of each project are listed on the CIP website, from $2 million to restore the SS Nenana, to school renovations costing between $4 and $11 million, to a $107 million aquatic center that could be many years away. Some citizens have already weighed in with comment. Retired civil engineer Rufus Bunch has served on the Polaris Working Group for more than a decade and would like to see a convention and arts center replace the decrepit Polaris Hotel in downtown Fairbanks.
There's a cost, definitely. But the groups that support new construction have looked at the ways it'll benefit the city and the community and the borough and the revenue that comes in.
A new animal shelter proposal has garnered a lot of citizen comment. At $17 million, something to replace the unsafe facility built in 1974 has been on the borough's capital projects list for years. A 2017 engineering report showed many problems. Volunteer Ronnie Rosenberg thinks it may already be too late to build a new facility before the current one might have to be closed for safety reasons.
Even if they passed it tomorrow, it's going to take a while. We don't have the luxury of closing it down for a couple of years.
The administration is taking comment on all nominated projects by email and at the January 16th public hearing. After the assembly approves the projects, the administration's technical team will rank them to come up with a 10-year plan to chip away at the maintenance backlog and build new facilities. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A negotiated property tax agreement between the North Star Borough and Corvius Military Housing gets a public hearing and a vote by the Borough Assembly at a meeting tonight. Corvius has long challenged borough taxation of about 900 housing units the company operates at Eielson Air Force Base, and Corvius hasn't paid its property taxes since 2014, a backlog of about $10 million. A tentative payment in lieu of taxes agreement between the borough and Corvius announced last month has the company paying a lump sum of $7 million to settle the back tax bill as well as penalties and interest for the years 2015 through 2019. Going forward, the company would pay about $600,000 per year. Despite a variety of statewide and national resources available to help those with suicidal thoughts or tendencies, Recent state reports show that suicide rates in Alaska are among the highest in the nation. With a focus on community wellness and removing stigma for the controversial topic, an Alaska nonprofit is hosting a series of listening circles in Kotzebue aimed at younger community members. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
When talking to young people about suicide prevention, Michelle Kubelik speaks from experience.
I was just hopeless. I didn't think that I could ever, you know, get to the point in my life where, you know, I would be doing something that I enjoy.
Incidents involving sexual assault compounded by a history of alcoholism brought Kubelik to a low point where she considered ending her life. She's been in recovery for over a decade. She credits her ability to stay sober and manage her depression in part to the support systems in Kotzebue who helped her.
There are people that, you know, like really guided me and helped me and gave me a chance. And that meant, you know, that meant a lot.
Stories like Kubelik's are common across the state. Statistics from the State Department of Health and Social Services released last year show a 13% uptick in the number of suicides in the state from 2012 to 2017. Alaska Natives were almost twice as likely than any other ethnic group in the state to die from suicide. It was most prevalent in the northern and southwestern parts of the state, and a third of the cases involved someone with a substance abuse problem. Kubelik is a facilitator for Promoting Community Conversations About Research to End Suicide, or PC Cares. The Alaska group focuses on addressing suicide in northern Alaska communities through community-focused listening circles. Kubelik says that a major catalyst for suicide is the idea that people don't seek help, or don't think that they can seek help for their personal struggles. But PC Cares listening groups are made of local community members. The groups, which can be as large as 20 people, provide safe spaces for people to discuss their own personal struggles as well as how suicide has affected them.
I want the youth to be comfortable in talking about a difficult subject to an adult or with each other. So I think it would make a big difference if they can, you know, express how much suicide hurts or how it affected them.
Kubelik says she and other PC Cares facilitators went through an intense training process in Anchorage last year to prepare for the listening sessions. She says it's very common for someone in the community to know someone who's been affected by suicide, and PC Cares relies on close-knit community bonds to facilitate healthy discussions.
It's something that a lot of folks have dealt with silently, and, you know, I think to begin healing, you need to learn how to open up and talk about the things that are hurting you. And I think that these learning circles will teach that.
The first learning circle is scheduled for January 29th in the Manelik Behavioral Health Services Kitchen in Kotzebue. Facilitators are aiming for a 6 p.m. start time. Kubelik understands that not everyone is comfortable with discussing their struggles in public forums. She says there are more private alternatives offered at behavioral health.
If you know of somebody, or if you have ever felt like you're, you know, you want to commit suicide, there are certain ways that we can try to help the youth or yourself by talking to somebody that you're comfortable with and seeking help.
If you or someone you know is struggling with suicidal thoughts, you can contact the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
And I'm Dan Bross.